song. Please open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 8. We're learning about being real disciples from John, chapter 8. And we're going to pick up at verse 30 again. And tonight we'll study primarily verses 33 through 38. So John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 30. If you're able, when you find your place, please stand with me to honor the reading of the Word of God. I love Sunday night church. I love coming together as a church family and worshiping the Lord. We get to have these kids up here in the choir and have special sung, and we open the Word of God together. It's a special time together on Sunday night. It's something that's disappearing from many churches, but I'm so thankful that we still have Sunday night services. I'm thankful for your faithfulness to be here. And I know the flesh is weary. Listen, people, don't pretend. I can see you. I'm looking at you right now. I know the flesh is weary. I understand that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And if we'll beat down our bodies, bring them into subjection, and force ourselves to focus on the Word of God for a little while, we will be made the better for it. And God will build up our strength through His Spirit. So please listen carefully to the Word of Jesus tonight, and let's be challenged to have our confidence in the right place. Our confidence is to be in Christ. John 8 and verse 30, "And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Please help us to rightly divide it, convict our hearts. Lord, may our confidence be in Christ alone, in Your word, Your truth, Your gospel, and in nothing else. Father, please help us tonight. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here has never been set free from the bondage of sin, that tonight they would cry out to You for mercy. They would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would trust in the finished work of Christ alone and call on You and be saved. And for all who are saved, Father, let us rejoice in the freedom we have in Christ, the freedom from sin, the freedom from death, the freedom from the grave. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to rejoice in that freedom and to tell others of the freedom they can have in Christ. Please help me now, and please bless Your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I told you last week that I have a different understanding of this passage than some do. I told you never to take my word for it, but to study the word, search the scriptures, whether those things are so. And I cannot see any reason why in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him," and in verse 33, "They answered Him," to believe that those that answer him, we be Abraham's seed, are any other people than those which believed on Him. Now, many commentators, scholars, and Bible scholars that are no doubt smarter than I am would tell you in verse 33 that this is a different group of people. But you have to kind of impose that on the text. It's not clearly there in the text. Now, the reason they do that is because you're going to find from this passage of Scripture that these people who believed on Jesus, the ones who Jesus is talking to, are people whose father, Jesus says, is the devil. And that kind of goes contrary to what we think. If you believe in Jesus, then He's your Savior, and the devil's not your father anymore, but God's your father. And so a lot of people superimpose that on the text, but I believe this. When you study all of Scripture, you'll find that not everybody who believes in Jesus is truly born again. There is a way to believe in Jesus in your mind without trusting in Christ with all your heart. There's a way to believe. The Bible says in the book of James that the devils believe and tremble. And so we want to be careful and understand. We're to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. And it is possible to believe in Jesus in a way that doesn't bring you to salvation. But we are not of those, Hebrews says, that turn back to perdition, but we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. And see, again, there's a difference. You can believe in Jesus with a mental assent. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. And yet you've not been transformed by repenting and trusting in Christ as your Savior. There's a difference. There's a difference. And I know, I went back and listened to a little bit of the sermon last Sunday night, and I thought, man, if anybody gets on our website this week, it's going to be detrimental, because I said everybody who believes in Jesus isn't really saved and going to heaven. And I know that that sounds crazy, but that's what I want you to understand tonight, that there's more to this idea of just, well, I believe. I'm telling you, friends, we've got to repent and trust in Christ with all our heart. And so these, I'm just going to present it to you like I believe it is. You study it out on your own. But they answered him. Who? Those Jews which believed on him. Jesus says to them, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He says, you need to believe, but you need to continue. You need to follow me. You need to leave everything behind and give your life to me and continue in my word. You need to be a true disciple of Christ. And if you do that, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Their answer in verse 33, they have confidence in their heritage. They say, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. The Jews deny their bondage. We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. Is that true? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph saved the known world at that time in Egypt, but then there arose another Pharaoh after Joseph who didn't know Joseph and didn't remember what had been done, and Israel was in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. Later, the nation was divided, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and both of those kingdoms were taken into captivity and spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. We were never in bondage to anybody. I think these people are delusional. We've never been in bondage to anybody. Where were they now? Who had control of them? Whose servants were they? Well, they were under Caesar. They were under Roman control. They were not free men. They could go around and do their business. But if they got out of line, the Romans would put them back in their place. Friends, these guys were in denial. They said, we've never been in bondage to anybody. I find it really interesting that Jesus doesn't call them on their error. He's still trying to mercifully, graciously give them the truth. He could have just said, baloney. Of course you've been in bondage. You're in bondage right now. But he didn't do that. Because when he spoke to them about being made free, he wasn't talking about political bondage. He wasn't talking about physical bondage. He was talking about something else. You see, when you follow Christ, when you trust in him with all your heart, when you continue to follow him in his word, when you're a true disciple of Jesus, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It may not make you free politically. It may not make you free physically, but it will make your soul and your spirit free forever. That's the kind of bondage Jesus is talking about. They denied their bondage, but Jesus defines their bondage for them. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Jesus isn't talking about Roman bondage or Babylonian captivity. He's not talking about being slaves in Egypt. Jesus is not talking about a man being a slave to another man. He is not talking about man being a bondservant to another man. He's talking about those that are sinners are the slave of sin. We are in bondage to our sin. You see, those Jews denied their bondage, but friend, we do the same thing today, because so many people think in boasting of how free they are, boasting of their liberty to do whatever they want to do, are in fact imprisoned by their sin. People today don't want your rules on them. They don't want God's laws on them. They don't want God's judgment on them. They want to say, I can do what I want to do. I can do as I please. I want to do what makes me happy. And all the while, by doing sin and going against God and committing the things that make them think that they're happy, all they're doing is adding more chains and more bondage to themselves. The devil's done a good job of convincing us that God's just trying to ruin our good time and he's trying to take away our freedom. And in fact, Jesus Christ is trying to set you free from the bondage of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I'm a free man. I've never been a slave to anybody. I can go and do as I please. We might boast of these kind of things in ourselves, but I want you to understand tonight, friends, that we are all the servants of sin without Christ. Well, let's just take a poll. Whosoever committeth sin. If you commit sin, would you please raise your hand? And if you're not raising your hand, you're lying. And lying happens to be transgression of the law. Therefore, put your hand up, right? The reality is, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin, but we don't like to think about it that way. I'm not a slave. Friends, they tell me that the first step for an addict is to admit that he's got a problem, that you're never going to get better until you understand you have a problem. I'm going to tell you something. The same thing's true for your spiritual life. If you can't even admit the fact that you're a sinner and that you're a slave to your sin, you're never going to be set free. If you don't know that you've got the chains on you, if you don't know that you're in the bars of iron, you're never going to look for a way out. And too many people today, they have no idea. They think they're free when all the while they are in bondage. It's not just the world out there, it's us too. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, I could quit anytime I wanted to? I just don't want to. Ever heard that? That's the way I feel about coffee and donuts. Quit anytime I want to. I just don't want to. That wouldn't be so funny if it wasn't so true. We can't even understand that we've got a problem. People are addicted to drugs and alcohol and to tobacco and to pornography, and they're addicted to foul language, and they're addicted to awful TV shows and movies and wicked music. We get hooked on so many different things, and all the while we don't think we've got a problem. We're looking at everybody else with their problem, and their problem's worse than my problem. And these men were in denial, and Jesus was trying to let them know, you may think that you've never been in bondage, but you're in bondage right now. Whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. I want you to hold your place there and look at Romans chapter 6, if you would, please. Romans chapter 6 and verse 15. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. By the way, for all of you Baptists who believe the Bible and understand that everlasting life means everlasting life, these are good things to understand. This is one of the first accusations. Oh, you're one of them Baptists. Once saved, always saved people, huh? And the accusation starts. So you think you can get saved, just do whatever you want to? And I'm going to tell you, friends, we are under grace, and we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. But understand this, that doesn't make me want to go out and sin. I've been saved by the grace of God. Should I continue in sin? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And friends, that eternal life is not earned by doing good and by doing righteousness. It's a free gift. But because we've given that free gift, because it's been given to us, we want to live for him. And friends, I love what he says. You abounded from iniquity unto iniquity. Some of us were sinners, and we were real good at being sinners. I mean, we just abounded in it. We just did worse and worse and worse. And he says, but you have been saved because you were obedient to the gospel. You've been delivered from sin and iniquity and death, and you've been given righteousness and called to holiness, and you've been given life. And as you were so good at being sinful, be good at being righteous. I'm going to tell you, Brother Steve can testify, there's some folks out there that work real hard at sinning. I mean, they live for it. They spend all of their time and money and energy and doing worse and worse things. Is it true? And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are cleansed. You are sanctified. And the same energies that we used to put into that, we ought to put into righteousness and holiness. The word servant in your King James Bible is the word slave. We don't like that word. We have a really bad connotation of what slavery is, because slavery in American history is horrific. But in biblical days, slavery meant you were a servant, that you were indentured to someone. Most of the time, there were a couple of different kinds of slaves. One was a prisoner of war. If an army came in and conquered another people, instead of just killing everybody, a lot of times they would take them captives and they would become slaves to the conquering kingdom. Everybody with me? So there were POWs, wartime slaves, and then there were what we would call today indentured servants. What that means is when you owed somebody and you didn't have enough money to pay them back, you had to go to work for them to pay it back. They were slaves. And we don't like that attitude today, but most of us are slaves to somebody. MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Armstrong, Arvest, some credit union. Right? The borrower is slave to the lender. At the end of the day, what are we doing? We're working to pay off our debts. It's what we're doing. And I want you to understand that when he says that you were servants unto iniquity, now you're servants unto righteousness, what he's saying is you were a slave to those things. You had no choice but to live in sin. You couldn't do anything righteous anyway. Your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But now you're cleansed. Now you're made right with God. And now you are a servant, a slave to God. And maybe you don't like being called a slave to God, but I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ purchased you with his blood. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Christ. Your spirit, your soul, your mind, your body, your life, everything you have or think that you own, it really belongs to him, because we belong to Christ. We're his. I'm not... You like the word servant, it sounds better, but I'm a slave to Christ. I belong to him. You say, I'm no man's slave. Well, you're either a servant of Christ or you're a servant of sin. You get to pick. But if you want to believe in Jesus, you need to believe him all the way and trust in him with all your heart. And when you do that, you belong to him. I don't like that. I'm a child of God. I don't like that. Jesus called me his friend. Yeah, you're all of those things. But that's only because of his great mercy and grace. He has called us friends. I don't understand that. He's made us joint heirs with Christ. That's too big for my mind to comprehend. But I get this. I belong to him because he purchased me with his blood. Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Back in our text, in verse 35, they say we're not slaves of anybody. He says you're a slave to sin. Verse 35, he says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. The slave doesn't live in the house. The slave isn't belong to the master. The slave is not his family. The slave does his work and lives in his quarters, and the slave can be gotten rid of at any time. He could be sold to somebody else. He could be relinquished. He could be cast out. Anything could happen. He says the slave doesn't abide in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Jesus said, I am my father's. I am in his house. And check this out. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You're a slave to sin, but I am in my Father's house. And if you'll trust in me and continue in my word, I will make you free. You won't be a slave anymore. Romans 8, 15 through 17, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. And he goes on in verse 21 and says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And I'm a purchased possession. I belong to him. I'm a servant of God now, a slave to the king. But check this out. It's more than that. I'm a child of the king. I've been adopted into the family of Christ. We're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. Why are you telling me I can be made free? I'm not in bondage. Well, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. In case you missed it, that's all of us. But if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Free in truth. Free absolutely. Free in every way. He goes on in verse 37 and says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. You mean they tried to kill him? Well, they took up stones to try to kill him. He had to pass through them. Even now, while he's speaking to them, some of them, it's in their heart to murder him. I mean, how many times are we going to see it that Jesus is preaching to those people and they get angry and they try to kill him? And the Pharisees and scribes are always plotting to try to kill him. And so even while he's talking to those who believed on him, there are some in the group that are wanting to kill him. They hate what he's saying to them. I don't know if it occurred to you, but some people still hate the gospel today. We don't see it very often today. We call persecution somebody not taking our gospel track. People get offended and say, "You, if you want to preach to people, if people want to hear your preaching, they'll come to your church. We don't need you out here telling us." I'm sorry if that bothers you, but Jesus told me to go to the highways and hedges. He told me to go from house to house, so I'm going to go ahead and do what he says, even if people don't like it. Pastor that I know from down in Texas was assaulted this week. I don't have the whole story, but from what I can understand, there was a guy, he was a little bit deranged, maybe a little bit on drugs or whatever the case was, but apparently this guy tried to witness to him, tried to be a help to him, and this guy broke his nose. Broke his nose. And the guy ran away and the cops chased him down. It was a big ordeal, but at the end of the day, Brother Jonathan Smith said, my nose is going to get better, it's fine, but pray for this young man that he will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's the heart we got to have. I mean, that's about as crazy as we're going to hear around here. But you don't have to go far. You go up north of the border, and right now, pastors and Christians who preach the gospel faithfully are being put in jail and fined for preaching the truth of the gospel in Canada. You go across the ocean either direction and you find places where it's illegal to own a Bible. You can be put in prison for giving away a Bible or proclaiming the gospel to somebody else. And in the other places in the world, that you can be murdered just for being a Christian. Even if you don't tell anybody. I'm telling you that real persecution exists. I'm telling you that we can't even begin to understand sometimes. But Jesus said, ye seek to kill me. The world hated Jesus, and if we live for Christ, the world's going to hate us. Why? Because my word hath no place in you. Let me just plead with you tonight to make place in your life for the word of God. Make place in your heart and mine for God's word. Jesus gave the parable of the sower who went forth to sow, and some fell on the wayside, and some fell into the stony ground, and some fell onto the wayside, and some fell into the thorny ground, and some found good soil, and it brought forth fruit. And I really believe this. Every time you open your Bible, every time you sit down for the preaching of the Word of God, every time God's Word is in your hearing, you decide what kind of ground that Word is going to find. We've got to soften our heart. Harden not your heart. Break up the fallow ground. Get your heart ready to hear the Word of God, because how sad it would be to be at church on a Sunday night and have your heart hardened. How sad would it be to be at church on a Sunday night and have the cares of this world sucking the life out of God's Word? How horrible would it be to be at church on a Sunday night and have your stony ground heart where there's no room for the roots of God's Word to dig down deep so it can bear fruit? Friends, harden not your heart, soften your heart, prepare your heart, receive the Word, let God's Word find place in your heart and mind. You seek to kill me because my Word hath no place in you. Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Jesus did always that which pleased the Father. He didn't speak of himself, but all the things that the Father showed him, that's what he told the people. He was always representing God. Even though he was God, he was representing God the Father in everything that he said, everything that he did, every miracle that he performed. He was always doing the Father's will. And he is our example that we should follow his steps. I like to do what I want to do. I like to say whatever comes into my mind. I like to do what I want to do. I like to go where I want to go. I like to just be my own boss. Now, most of you fellas are knuckleheads, and you are the same way, And most of us, if we're honest tonight, if we're really, really truthful tonight, most of you men that are here tonight have been made better by your wife first before you were made better by the Lord. Because you listen to her. Sometimes. How many of you guys would be honest that you would probably worse now then you would be worse off now if your wife didn't, I don't want to say nag. I don't want to say nag, but there's really no other word for it. Encourage. If your wife didn't regularly remind you that there's a better way, you know, her way. The truth is that most of us, we want to do what we want to do unless there's an easier way to do it. And sometimes it's just easier to do what your wife wants you to do. Amen. See, this is gospel truth right now. But again, we're just doing that because it's easier for us, because we don't want to listen to somebody gripe at us. It's not because we really care. We really want to do what's right. We just want to make our lives easier. See? But Christ is calling all of us, men and women, to something better. His example was to do his Father's will. I promise you it wasn't easy. I promise you it wasn't comfortable. I promise you it wasn't the easiest thing for him to do. Jesus could have done lots of other things. And if you don't think he was tempted, then you don't believe your Bible. I think that he faced temptation all the time not to deal with those people, just to go somewhere else. But he didn't do that. He always did his Father's will, and he always met those confrontations, and he always did the hard thing because he always did the right thing. I'm telling you what my Father said. You're speaking from your father, which we'll find out is the devil. I'm speaking from my Father. I'm trying to show you the truth from my Father, and that is not the easy way. They hated him for it. They wanted to kill him for it, but he was going to be faithful to his Father's will no matter what. I want to tell you, men and women and boys and girls, doing things God's way is not the easy way. It's not. It's not the popular way. When you stand up for the truth in this book, people are not going to love you for it. But there's something better than being popular and accepted by the world. It's being obedient to our Heavenly Father. And it's worth whatever the cost. This evening, let's stand together. Get ready for an invitation. Those Jews had confidence in their heritage. We be Abraham's seed. Jesus had already laid out the conditions of true discipleship. Continue in my word. But they said, oh, we don't need to be set free. We've got no problem here. But Jesus clearly defined for them what their bondage was, and their bondage was to sin. And if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you are a slave to sin right now. And the end of that slavery is eternal damnation in the lake of fire. But there is a better way. You can repent of your sin and trust in Christ, and He will give you life. And you can serve Him and live for Him. At the end of that is life everlasting. But let me warn you, it seems like sometimes slaves want to go back and pick up the chains, wrap them around us, but the lock has been broken. Why would you go back and wrap yourself in the chains when the lock's been broken? You've been set free. You have no reason to be bound in sin. If you're a child of God, you've been set free. You can live in that freedom. Sin has no power over you. Wherever you're at in your heart tonight, if the Lord's convicting you, you come. Trust Christ. You come. Seek His help and favor so that you can walk in the life that He saved you to live in. As we sing.
447.
447.